Welcome to this week's podcast. My name is Dylan Gallagher, and I'm the host of this podcast. I use this podcast to share my thoughts and opinions on interesting things happening this week that are impacting investors, entrepreneurs, and business owners. And as some background, my career has been spent in finance working with entrepreneurs and business owners who need help, as well as the bankers, lenders, and investors that fund them. And so hopefully you find this podcast interesting and helpful. And maybe if you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, or an investor, that you'd walk away with some new ideas on how you can do more. I've got a couple of topics I'd like to cover this week. Two of them relate to my own personal experience related to my own personal experiences of this past 2 weeks. And then the last item I'd like to chat about is just something that I bumped into this week that I've talked with other people before, but I thought maybe it would make a good topic for this podcast. So sorry for those of you that listen or are trying to listen on a weekly basis, because last week I was not able to put together a podcast, just as my schedule would have it, with our technology platform, emilynow.ca, that took up a big chunk of time last week. We have a few individuals helping us market it, lots of meetings with banks and strategic partners. And so, anyway, apologize for that. If you were looking forward to hearing my bright, sparkly voice and you were not able to, maybe this week we can make up for it. First topic I want to talk about, I'll just title it, "You Can't Lose Something You Don't Have," is a personal realization that I made actually 2 weeks ago. And it centers around this idea that as entrepreneurs, often we tend to, or we can anyway, think that the world exists in a certain way. And, we want to capture as much value as we can out of the particular product or service that we offer. And often we can be self-sabotaging when we do that. And I'll maybe make this easier by giving you the example in my own experience. So we have I built an online platform, emilynow.ca, which is meant to make it easier for businesses to access financing in the marketplace. And one of the challenges that I had was businesses that are coming through the platform were having a hard time understanding what it is we're doing. We're pretty disruptive with what we're doing. It's pretty simple. There's no catch, and all of that is positive, but it can also be negative because people don't have a point of reference for what it is we do. And the general idea is that you would go through our platform, you'd answer some questions, indicate some documents that maybe you have, put in some basic math or some basic financial details of your business, and then get a score. That score would help you identify the lenders in the market that could look at your deal, and then ultimately you would engage with us to put together a package and get that deal off to lenders on your behalf. And so that's worked fairly well for the last little while, but now we're looking to scale it and grow it. And one of the hurdles has been that businesses have a hard time talking about finance in general. It tends to be a highly sensitive topic. Businesses don't want to talk about the problems that they might be having or that they might be experiencing, much less sit in front of a banker and blue sky about some of the solutions that the bank could be giving to them. So we had intentionally locked down the platform so that you couldn't get past a certain point unless you engaged with us. And we did that because we wanted to be able to help. Selfishly, we wanted to be able to capitalize on that, but it was also becoming a bit of a choke point for businesses that would come through, because some businesses were letting us know that, look, we'd love to engage the service of the platform, but we actually don't really understand whether or not what we're trying to do is even achievable in the first place. And so when I say that entrepreneurs can self-sabotage, it's because you end up wanting to, or in my case anyway, I wanted to make sure that we were profitable and earning revenue off of all of the value that we were providing, forgetting, of course, that that isn't always necessary. And because a certain percentage of customers were getting stuck at one of the choke points in the process, I decided 2 weeks ago to just remove it entirely. The fact of the matter is that if we had 100 businesses coming through and say 20 of them were getting stuck at that choke point, they weren't our customers anyway. And so giving them the ability to just simply send their details through to a bank without talking to us wasn't to our detriment. We didn't have them as a customer in the first place, and by letting them through the platform with no firewall and ultimately being able to interact directly with the banks, it ends up helping those businesses. Because now what we've learned, the follow-up to this change in the past 2 weeks, is now that there really are no firewalls left, a business can jump on our system, they can interact with banks, and then what that's doing is forcing them back to us because now they need some expertise and some help to get the rest of the way. So the point is, I had thought, let's try to contain the customer interactions that, or the, let's try to contain the customers that are using our valuable business, and instead realized 2 weeks ago that if a customer is not going to work with us today, based on how we've set it up, they're probably never going to work with us. So we don't lose a customer by simply taking our business to a new level and simply letting businesses take advantage of our platform without paying us. And what we're seeing now is that value is actually being created further down the cycle, and now we're able to capitalize on that. But my point is, you can't lose something that you don't have. If you offer a product or a service to the marketplace right now, and you're finding that people are not as responsive to it as you would like them to be, or as you would hope they would be with it, then maybe it requires revisiting how you're offering that product or service. Because a customer that you don't have today, you don't lose anything by trying to make it easier for that customer to do business with you by maybe changing how you offer your product or your service, or maybe changing a different piece of how you offer your product or service to make it easier for customers to work with you. And in our case, that simply meant removing one of the roadblocks so that they could truly capture the value of what we do. And as an entrepreneur, as much as I want to be profitable, you know, I don't get up every day with dollar signs in my eyes. I actually get up because I believe that what we're doing really does make a difference in the marketplace. And so because that's our honest intent, being able to make it even easier for businesses to work with us was now something I realized we should have done a long time ago. But hindsight, of course, is 20/20. So if for some reason you're nervous to do something in your business that might be strange or awkward or different than how you've done it traditionally, I would encourage you to just try it, because you don't know what happens on the other side. You can't lose something you don't have. And so if all of a sudden you end up offering something to a bunch of people that were never going to be your customers, you might be surprised to realize how they come back to be your customers, maybe further down the experience. So I don't know if that makes sense to you. I hope that it does. It's been a big revelation for me. And even in the short 2 weeks that we're watching what this change has done, it's actually had a pretty profound impact now on the level of engagement that we're getting with people utilizing our technology or our service, if you will, and it's creating more loyalty as well. And now we're seen as a true ally with them instead of just another service provider that they have to get comfortable with. And so anyway, it kind of leads into my second point here, which is, and it dovetails perfectly, and for those of you that don't know me, I'm heavily left-brained. I tend to think in boxes and arrows and straight lines, and as much as I like to pretend I have an active right side of my brain, I don't really. I am a left-brained individual. And so my second topic here, my second soundbite would be, and I've been saying this to everyone that will hear me, is logical does not always mean practical. And the easiest way to explain this is maybe in a math equation. A guy like me would say, our customers have to use us in a certain way, according to a certain set of steps. And that would be the equivalent of 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the only way you can get to the number 3. But what I've realized as a result of shifting around some of the things in our business and our customer service experience in the last 2 weeks, I'm realizing that, guess what? 5 - 2 = 3. 2 + 1 = 3. There's actually quite a few different ways to get to 3 if that is the goal, and it doesn't have to be in one direction of 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. That as entrepreneurs, we can again get this mindset of, this is the only way to do it. There is no other way to do it. And Steve Jobs said that people don't really know what they want until you show it to them. And so there's truth to that, but sometimes that truth can be to the detriment of ourselves. And again, it can be another mechanism for self-sabotage where you're just not prepared to consider that there's a different way to get to 3. So I don't think that the destination is something that can be moved. You know, for me, I get up every day to make it easier for businesses to access financing. That's it. Period. Full stop. But the way in which I do that every day doesn't have to simply be the same path or the same set of steps. By meeting with customers, by being open to change, by listening very closely to how customers are arriving at either agreeing or disagreeing with what we're trying to do, you can discover there's some alternative paths. And sometimes those alternative paths end up being better than the original path that you set out for. When I launched our platform in beta in the summer of 2013, I literally thought customers would use it in a 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And I can share with you now that I think there were 36 major iterations before September of 2014. And all of that was driven through frustration, mostly because I had just thought if I built it this way, people will use it this way, and realized that the goal was the right goal, but the way in which I had mapped out how people got there just couldn't have been further from how they would actually use it. So logically, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but practically, there's many different ways to get to the number 3, or a number of different ways to get to the goal that your business is actually trying to hit. And as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, or as an investor who maybe has funded a private company, it's important to be flexible and to listen to the feedback, to try and understand what's working, and to pay close attention to what's not working. As I said previously, in our business, we were noticing that people were getting stuck at a certain point. And as the entrepreneur, I thought, well, let's just keep helping them just push through it, and it'll be fine. And then once I realized that, look, we don't need to help people push through anything. We just simply need to help them find a different way to get around it. All of a sudden, that's opened up a whole different element of the experience that people are having working with our technology. So I pass that on to anyone who feels like they're maybe in the same spot, where they know what they're trying to do makes sense. In their mind, they have mapped, as an entrepreneur or a business owner, you've mapped out a certain way that has to happen, forgetting that maybe there's different ways to get to the same place, and to explore that and to really understand that. So anyway, hopefully that's worth something to somebody who's listening to this podcast and find themselves in that spot. The last topic I wanted to chat about real quickly today, because of the city that we live in and the province and the country that we're in, lots of layoffs happening around us right now. Lots of people being let go from jobs that they had for 10 years or 20 years. A guy like me recognizes that kind of the natural ebb and flow of the marketplace is that when times are good, lots of people will be employed, and hopefully they can make some money when times are good. But when times are bad, there's a pretty good chance that if you're employed, you might end up losing your job, and you might find yourself having to consider some different alternatives. So getting fired is pretty terrible. It can be very devastating. It turns your world upside down. But I've noticed that during these downturns, this is really when opportunities are taken advantage of. And I had the privilege of meeting with somebody yesterday who sent me an email earlier in the week, who had been let go, had been at his job for a couple of decades, actually didn't even know he was going to be laid off, and now he's exploring maybe opening a business. Him and his wife had a business in the past. He ended up taking on a career after they sold that business, and now is finding himself at almost 60 years old, 59 years old, trying to now sort out, what does he do? Does he pick up another career? Does he go and work for the competition in the same type of role? Or is this maybe a chance for him to do something different? And I remember following a conversation on LinkedIn probably a month or two ago where this same topic came up. You know, you get fired, you're a certain age, what do you do? And so in this particular case, this guy's thinking of starting a business. So we had a coffee, we talked about it. In markets like this, there's a lot of small businesses or private companies who have owners that would like to work their way out of a business. And so for a certain demographic of person, that might be a good opportunity to come into a business and help that owner work out of the business and end up taking ownership of it, or at least a piece of ownership. So while getting fired, you know, is not pleasant, probably not what everyone wakes up wanting to learn about their career that day. If once you get over maybe the shock of that, to then sit down and to work through now what the options are, and maybe starting a business is an option, whether you go and start a franchise or you join a business that you can work evenings and weekends and ultimately get into a full-time position. These moments in the marketplace are often a good time to consider those opportunities, because these moments really are when opportunities get made. So if you've been fired, I'd encourage you to take a look at maybe starting a business or joining a business at an early stage that you could grow with as the market begins to turn around. And if that's not your bag, that's fine. But being an entrepreneur is a lot of fun. Owning a business is a tremendous amount of work, but the payoff is totally worth it. And even if you're an investor, today is a really great day to, if you've got money to employ, because there's nowhere else to put it today, being able to go to the marketplace and find some private companies that could use a little bit of help. Maybe you get to be an advisor with them as well. It's a pretty great time to do that. So that's the end of this podcast. Those are my thoughts on not being able to lose something you never had in the first place. So stop fooling yourself if you're a business owner. That logical doesn't always mean practical. There's many different ways to get to a goal, but as long as the goal is clearly defined, it doesn't matter what path you take, and you should be open to exploring a few different paths. And if you've recently been fired, now's a pretty good time to consider maybe starting a business or joining a business, or if you're an investor, funding a business that might be experiencing some turmoil during this time. So thanks for listening, and we'll look to connect with you again next week. Look me up on LinkedIn. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Gallagher. I'm on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel. And again, my hopes would be that in listening to this, you've been encouraged or maybe inspired to consider something you're having a challenge with. And if you want to chat, I'd love to chat either online or in person, have a coffee, because I just have this huge passion to help businesses with finance-related issues, and I can add a lot of value. And oftentimes talking it out is half the battle. So anyway, we'll catch up with you next week.